When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, "All Things to All Men." You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Wake up!
The hymn, "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying," it's based upon a parable that Jesus told, a parable of his second coming, of a parable of judgment in his second coming, from Matthew chapter 25, and it's found there, that parable of the 10 virgins, amidst other parables and teachings of Jesus' second coming as well. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the remainder of today's program, Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel joins us. We're going to be talking about the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, the first 13 verses, and the return of Jesus, keeping with that theme of being guided by the creed, the Apostles' Creed. We have Jesus' ascension into heaven. The only thing left on the agenda is his return again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end, as we confess in the Christian faith. Pastor Tom Baker is a regular guest. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
Give us some of the context of this. This is kind of the big parable of Jesus' return. It goes along with several others as well.
I don't often do this, but because I have a class on how the editor's notes in the Bible are often wrong. The editor's notes are those that are found above the various verses. But in this case, I'm going to use it because beginning with chapter 24, here's the editor's notes. "Signs of the close of the age, the coming of the Son of Man. No one knows that day and hour." Then the parable of the 10 virgins, followed by the parable of the talents, which really is a parable about people who did not think Jesus would return, and ending in Matthew 25 with the final judgment, and that's the goats and the sheep. So, the parable of the 10 virgins is right smack in the middle of all of those. So clearly, this is a parable about Jesus returning on Judgment Day.
Now, it's a very rich parable, not only that it has several elements to the story, but it also borrows upon one of Jesus' favorite themes, and that is an imminent wedding, or a wedding that's about to take place. Why does that go so nicely with both Jesus, how he sees himself, and with the promise of his return?
One of the metaphors that God uses to describe our relationship to Jesus, well, one of them is, he's the head, we're the body. But another one is, he's the groom, we are the bride. And in fact, he prepares a mansion for the bride. The book of Revelation does have a number of references to Jesus as groom and the church as the bride. But here we have, as in a lot of parables, well, what's a parable? It's an extended metaphor where Jesus takes a regular thing on earth and describes it to something else on earth. I'm kind of opposed to the view that a parable is a heavenly story. I'm sorry, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I believe a parable is an earthly story with an earthly meaning. And this one really says it very clearly because it begins, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like." Now, when most people think of heaven, they think of life after death, in that eternal joy and bliss. But the parables are not about that kingdom of heaven, and they're also not about the interim kingdom of heaven when your spirit goes to be with Jesus. They're about the kingdom of heaven here on earth, which is the new kingdom that Jesus inaugurated with his ministry, which in the creed we refer to as the Holy Christian Church. So this parable is about what is going to happen in the church on the last day of judgment, as the church is thinking about Jesus returning to have the big wedding, and there's plenty of stuff in the Old Testament speaking of the wedding and the wonderful feast that God is making. For example, Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, a rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. Now, Jesus picks up these themes in this parable, and there are a couple of things that might confuse us, but we'll get to that as we go further.
Okay, so give us the kind of the rundown of the parable. We have 10 virgins, and 5 of them are foolish, 5 of them are wise. How would you take us into it?
These are kind of like the ushers or the usherettes for the wedding. Unlike in our day, where the father of the bride is the one who kind of prepares everything and all the costs are put upon him, in Jesus' day, it was actually the groom. And these folks were waiting for the groom to come in order to pick up the bride and take her into the wedding. And then the doors would be shut. And so here are 5 who are said not really to be ready for him. They don't have sufficient wine. Remember, the weddings are often beginning at night, although they may last 2 or 3 days. And what happens here is there are no streetlights. So it's important that those who are to be processing with the groom to pick up the bride, etc., that they are not only awake, but they have sufficient oil in order that the way might be lightened for the group. And it appears 5 of them have sufficient oil and 5 of them don't.
Do we need to establish what the oil is, or if the oil is anything more than just oil?
In most parables, something stands for something. Occasionally, Jesus goes through the parables, like the parable of the sower. He takes each piece of the various kinds of soil and said, well, this is soil where somebody comes to faith, but then thorns come up and they kind of squelch the faith. And so he kind of goes through, and he does that also with the parable of the angels coming on the last day to take those into heaven. But it's not necessary that you have to find something for each item. But in this case, I think there is something, and it starts right off with verse 2 of what we're talking about. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. This reminded me of Job chapter 28. From where then does wisdom come? Where is the place of understanding? And if you go through there, we find that wisdom comes from God. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. Proverbs 1:7 picks it up this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is kind of interesting because it looks like both the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, they're both waiting for the groom to appear. And so you would think they both would have a kind of a faith that would save them. The problem is the foolish are those, and here's how I would describe it, that their faith is nothing than a superficial knowledge of scriptural truth. It's just like the Pharisees were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But when he finally showed up, he didn't meet their expectations. The very fact that the foolish ones did not have enough oil shows that they weren't expecting him to be late. They expected him to come at the time that he ought to come. And there's one verse I'd like to bring about how people can follow Jesus and yet not know who he was. After the feeding of the 5,000, they want to make Jesus a bread king. So obviously they missed out on what the feeding of the 5,000 was. And in fact, Jesus himself says in John, you know, you're following me because you got filled with food, not because you understood the sign. And what he's referring to here is that the feeding of the 5,000, and as he said to John the Baptizer's disciples, the lame able to walk, the blind able to see, the deaf able to hear, the mute able to speak, are actually signs that this is the Messiah who hasn't come away to take away the evil Romans, but has come to take away the consequences of your sin. And so these are the kind of people I think Jesus talks about in the same book, the same Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what is the will of the Father? That just so happens to be in one of the readings for this coming Sunday. It is to believe in Jesus Christ is the good work that we are to do. These foolish ones, therefore, I would say their lack of oil is actually pointing out their lack of understanding who the groom truly is.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, another 10 minutes teaching a Sunday school lesson on the parable of the 10 virgins.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
When the Apostle Paul stated, "I have become all things to all men," was he talking about fitting in with the world? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled All Things to All Men. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read Pastor David Wan's story of failing to find Lutheran theology in several Lutheran churches, but finding it in Scripture and the Lutheran Confessions, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on the parable of the 10 virgins. Folks, Craig's going to start making copies of the audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference tomorrow. You can order your copy for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. That's the non-attendee price there. It contains teachings from Dr. Paul Meyer, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Dr. David Menton, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and Pastor Will Whedon, and me as well. You can make your $300 check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois. Illinois 62234. You can also order online at issuesetc.org. Click the conference audio DVD logo. More than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing on the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference audio DVD. Tom, let's talk a little bit about, you said before that really the oil here is simply a demonstration that there are those who anticipate the return of Christ without any really saving knowledge or faith in Him. Now, in all of these parables, the bridegroom has a tendency to be late. He has a tendency not to come when people expect him to come. What's that about?
Yeah, just ask Abraham and Sarah. Abraham, you're 75. Sarah, you're 65. You're going to have a baby. It's going to be a blessing to the whole world. Abraham believed, counted to him for righteousness. 25 years later, the pregnancy hadn't ended. Well, probably didn't begin either, but it took 25 years for God to do that. You can look at Eve, chapter 4 of Genesis. She got a man. A proper translation of chapter 4 says, not I got a man from the Lord. She thinks that I got a man the Lord, namely Cain. But rather than being the Messiah, he's the first murderer. Time and time again, Elijah is wondering, oh, when is this drought going to end? I must be the only one left. No, Elijah, there's 7,000 others who are just like you. This is something about the timing of God. We should never be concerned about His timing. We should always be concerned about His promises. So He promises He's going to be ready for the wedding feast. The foolish ones, they have an idea of when His timing should be, and so guess what? They're not ready for it. You have a really good advertisement on there from one of your listeners who called in and says, you know, I know you say Jesus is coming back. Well, I got something to tell you. He's not coming back again. This gentleman is going to get a big surprise, and I guarantee he won't have sufficient oil.
Okay, when they return, it's not just that they go out to meet him, and it's not just. And this is maybe where your point comes most pointedly home. They are excluded from the wedding party because when the bridegroom returns, they are not there to greet him. It's not just that they don't have oil to greet him; they're not even there. They go away.
Yes, because they ask the ones who have oil, why don't you give us some of your oil? But the response is, if we give you our oil, then we're going to be out of oil too. We're both all going to be out, and therefore there will be nobody there to greet him. See, this is a good example of why you don't take a parable in all its parts. You don't say, well, according to this parable, when somebody comes and asks a favor from a Christian, we better not do the favor for them, lest we don't get going to heaven. No, that would be going going beyond this. This is just a typical earthly example of what really happens. And so therefore, what is occurring here is that these people were really not prepared for the kind of groom coming that he truly is. They wanted maybe a bread king coming at their time and not the kind of groom. In fact, I just want to make a note. The very next parable is the parable of the talents. And that's a terrible title because people think they're talking about the talents you have of singing or writing and have you used it good enough on judgment day that you'll get into heaven. No, the word talent there actually means a Roman coin. It's actually a mina. But there you have the same characters. The man says, I'm going away, I'm coming back. Two of them take his money, and they work in the marketplace and gain much by trading. And the second one, or the third person, buries it. Now, it's not that the two are commended because they earned much, and the other one is not commended because he didn't even get interest. They each have a different view of God, of the master. The two who went into the marketplace, and by the way, they were taking their life in their hands because the citizens hated this guy who was going away to get a kingship. They did not want him to return. And there are events where people were assassinated. So to go and do the work of this man took your life in your hands. But I want to have you hear what the individual said to the wicked one, or what the wicked one said to him. He said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, gathering where you do not scatter. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. You see, the real problem with this man is that his view of the master is the view of the devil. He's got it all mixed up. And when you think God is the devil, then you will not be prepared for his coming in faith because you are messed up in your understanding of who the master is. They, the foolish versions, and I tell you that word foolish, you just have to look it up in the Old Testament. It's the opposite of wisdom, namely those with the knowledge of the true God stand in quite a different understanding than those of the knowledge of God as the devil. Remember what the Pharisee said? Thank God that I'm not like that tax collector because I tithe. And then he started naming ceremonial laws he was following. And see, he did not know the true God. And that's what I consider to be the lack of oil.
Speaking of knowledge, the bridegroom, having come back and escorted the wedding party into the wedding hall, the door is closed. The remaining five virgins show up. They plead to be let in. His answer is peculiar. He says, truly I say to you, I do not know you. What does that mean?
Scripture interprets scripture. We go to Matthew chapter 7. The very same words are there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, and we've already discovered that the will of the Father is believing in Jesus. He says, on that judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And there you can look at Mormons, you can look at others who talk about Jesus and maybe even do miracles from the point of view of the devil. But listen what he says in verse 23 of Matthew 7, the very same words. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, what's their lawlessness? Their lawlessness is really, and this is what the whole Reformation was about, the place of good works. They thought, hey, I waited for the bride. I had sufficient wine. I should be rewarded at least for that, or he should have at least waited for me to go and get what I didn't have. The lawlessness is thinking that we, by our works, can gain entry into heaven and therefore be saved. God considers that lawless because, according to his law, the way we're saved is through faith in Jesus Christ, who alone did our atonement, who alone did the works necessary for our salvation, who alone is the righteous one who gives us his righteousness in that glorious exchange when in baptism we give Jesus our sins and he gives us his robe of righteousness.
With only about a minute here, a little bit less than a minute, Tom, Jesus has the final warning at the end of the parable. Watch, therefore, you do not know either the day or the hour. What is he saying there with 1 minute?
To the Sunday school children, I would encourage the teachers to indicate to them that the way that we are prepared, even though we don't know the day or the hour, is to remain steeped in worship services, Sunday school, and Bible classes so that God continues to prepare us. And in that sense, when his final advent, his final coming arrives, we have been prepared by the Holy Spirit, and in God's sight, we have sufficient oil.
Pastor Tom Baker often mentions the Sunday school curriculum that guides our conversations with him called Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Pastor Tom Baker is host of Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fekencher will be our guest. We'll also continue our series with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the sexual revolution, and we'll have Dr. John Eastman answer the question, will gay rights come at the cost of religious freedom? The day and the hour is unknown, known only to the Father, and we wait with anticipation. It is the bridegroom himself who will call us to join him there in the eternal wedding celebration, and is only, solely by his mercy, by the mercies given us in his death and resurrection, that we will enter the wedding hall ourselves. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio, First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas, Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri, Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois, Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama, and Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.